Welcome to Tell Me About Your Pain. I'm Alan Gordon.
And I'm Alon Ziv.
Today, we're going to talk about how to teach your brain to deactivate your pain.
As always, we're excited to be doing this podcast in partnership with Curable. Curable is an app for treating chronic pain, and they have tons of great exercises and techniques to help you on your path to healing. You can check them out at curablehealth.com.
So before we dive in, we have really exciting news. Our book came out this week.
Yay! I'm actually holding it in my hand right now.
It's so colorful.
Yeah, I love the cover. It's very soothing. We're really excited about it. It's called The Way Out, A Revolutionary, Scientifically Proven Approach to Healing Chronic Pain. Available wherever books are sold.
And we're going to circle back to the book in the middle of the episode to introduce a new concept, corrective experiences and setbacks.
But first, let's listen to a call with Alan and a woman named Sue, who struggles with migraines, back pain, fibromyalgia, and a very scary symptom where it feels like her heart is pounding like a jackhammer. Alan helps her look at her symptoms through a new lens to help her try to turn off the pain.
You know, it's hard. It's hard for me. And I think, like, my heart is still pounding like crazy, and that seems to be overwhelming my thoughts. Because the physical sensations are so overwhelming to me. The heart pounding, I mean, it's vibrating me in my chair, and it does that often. Like, I'm kind of, my chest is tight. I feel everything now. I always have, before all of this. I felt something in my teeth, you know, and I went to the dentist, and he's like, wow, he said, how did you feel that? He said, it's barely even infected or whatever it was. I just feel everything.
You know, it's not just that you feel everything, Sue. It's that you feel things through a lens of danger. Mm. You know, it's like you're not just interpreting sensations more strongly. You're interpreting sensations as being scary. Does that distinction make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Because somebody else might feel that and not notice it.
Or just feel like, oh, that's interesting. It kind of feels like a jackhammer in my chest right now, but I know it's safe. It's like sometimes I'll talk to someone and they'll be like, oh, it's like a burning feeling in my back. But it's not just that it's like a hot feeling in their back. It's that the brain is interpreting it as dangerous, you know, because when you get into a jacuzzi, that's really hot too, but it feels good. So it's not just that you're feeling these sensations more. It's that you're feeling them badly. And that's the problem.
Okay. I got it. Okay.
I think that one of the goals for you is to be like, you feel like you need to turn the volume knob down. You feel like you need to make these feelings be less intense, but you don't. All you need to do is just kind of wrap your mind around the fact that they're not dangerous, and it's possible to actually feel them just as strongly, but not feel like they're bad.
And I know I'm not, I know my heart's fine. Trust me, I've had it checked enough times.
Yeah.
But I know it's fine, but it's just so overwhelming. So, okay, so I need to just interpret it as something interesting or maybe neutral.
Yeah.
And me being the perfectionist, yes, I want to feel a change, and it's hard for me.
I
want it so bad.
I know.
And it's so hard. Do not want it. How do you not want it?
Of course, your brain is going to want to change it. We're not, we can't try to stop that. That's fine.
Okay.
You just don't need to indulge in it. Ooh, you have pounding in your chest right now, right?
Yeah, I do.
We don't need to change that. Interpretation.
I know. That's what's so hard.
I know. It feels like.
That's what's so hard for me.
It feels like there's something that's going on in your chest that's unusual, but there isn't. There is nothing different about anything that's going on in your chest than what's going on in my chest right now. The only difference is your brain is interpreting the regular, normal, healthy beating of a heart through a lens of danger. And so it is amplifying that sensation. my brain is interpreting that same thing that's going on in my chest through a lens of safety. So it's not amplifying it. So I think the first step is to wrap your mind around the fact that there is nothing distinct going on in your chest, even though it feels like there is.
Okay.
Okay. So we don't need to change anything because there's nothing to change. We don't need to get rid of anything because there's nothing to get rid of.
Okay. Maybe that's a key thought, that I don't have to get rid of it because there's nothing to get rid of.
So see if you could actually explore that jackhammery feeling, knowing that it's safe, knowing that it's fine, knowing that there's nothing wrong in your chest, that all of the heartbeat is regular and your heart is nice and healthy and all of the muscles are fine and the tendons are fine, and just kind of explore the jackhammery feeling, knowing that it's safe and you don't need to get rid of it because there's nothing to get rid of. But just kind of explore it and be like, that's weird.
Yeah. Okay. That helps. It does help, I guess. It's lessening a little bit.
And again, it's not lessening. That's the thing. Your brain is just changing your interpretation of it a little bit.
So I know we were talking about this, but with the back pain, so I just need to interpret it that it's nothing to fear.
But, you got it.
Okay.
It's not, there's not actually anything wrong going on in your back. It's literally just your brain interpreting the nerve signals that are getting sent from your back. Your brain is interpreting those as dangerous. That's all pain is. Pain, it's really just an opinion. It's your brain's opinion. You know, it's literally like the nerve endings in your back are, sending along messages. And those messages are saying, everything's fine here, no cause for alarm. And then your brain is getting those messages and it's reading it and it's like, wait, cause for alarm. You know, your brain is just terrible at reading. It's terrible at interpreting messages accurately.
So what about, my muscles get real tight, obviously, because I'm so tense all the time, you know, and I go get my myofascial and he's like, wow, this is like touching leather. You know, it's like stretching leather. My back is so tight. I don't know. You know, I almost feel like, so there is something wrong with it.
So when I had really bad back pain, I went and I got a massage, and regularly from like a masseuse, and they would, massage the part of my back that was in pain. And they said, it's like a rock. And I was like, my poor muscles. And then I eventually overcame my symptoms and I didn't have pain anymore. And I was really curious and I went back to the same masseuse and I didn't tell them that I didn't have pain anymore. I was like, hey, what do you feel? And they were like, it's like a rock. Nothing changed.
Oh, really?
It's possible to have musculoskeletal tension, and it feels really tender when someone touches it, but that doesn't mean that you need to have chronic pain. There's lots of people with super tight muscles, and it was really tender if someone pushes on it, but they don't have chronic pain just walking around throughout the day. Does that help?
Yes, it does, because I'm so tight all the time, everywhere. And it does hurt to touch. And
There's nothing wrong with your body. There's nothing wrong with the physical sensation of the beating in your chest. There's nothing wrong with your back. It's just your brain interpreting the messages from the nerve endings through a lens of danger. And what are you experiencing in your body right now?
The heart's calmed down. It's calming down. Okay.
And again, remember, it's nothing's actually calming down. Your interpretation of it is just changing a little bit.
Okay.
Given the fact that you're feeling a little bit more settled, I want us to see if we could try something for a sec. Okay?
Okay, let's try something.
I want you to see if you could bring your attention to the physical sensation of your breath coming in and out, and you're not doing it hard. You're not doing it with any kind of intensity. You're doing it with a sense of lightness. There's two different ways to pay attention. You could pay attention the way that you pay attention when you're analyzing a problem or writing a report or studying for a test. Or there's like an easier way to pay attention, like when you're watching a beautiful sunset or you're watching the clouds pass by overhead. You know, you're watching kind of like two dolphins swimming back and forth, making figure eights.
shouldn't be analyzing it, just noticing it.
Exactly.
Try to pay attention to things with less effort. This is like a foreign language to me. Okay. So when I'm shaking like crazy, what I call shaking, the adrenaline is pumping. It's 5 a.m. and I feel like I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be easier for you to pay attention with less effort when you're not in 10 out of 10 shaking. And so, you know, sometimes when you're in that state, you can just be like, yeah, this is temporary. It's going to pass. You're going to be okay. And when in the times when you're not like that, like right now, it's just a matter of really practicing paying attention to anything with less intensity.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
I
feel like the treatment plan for you, as simple as it sounds, is like lighten up.
Yeah. Lighten up. I'm going to write that down. I'm like, I have a chalkboard in my bathroom that I was writing affirmations and things on. I'm just going to write lighten up. No, isn't that funny how it's like, okay, I have to tell myself to lighten up.
Yeah.
It just blows me away how hard that is. But, okay.
Sue, do you remember at the beginning of the call, I could like hear the tension and tightness in your voice?
Yeah.
I don't right now. I don't.
Yeah. No, I feel better. I feel better. So thank you for that.
You feel you're just lighter.
Yeah. Yeah. I am lighter. You're right. My chest isn't so heavy. Yeah.
Isn't it easier? Isn't it like just more fun to exist like this?
Yeah. 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 A lot more fun. Like the heart's calmed down. Well, my feeling of the heart has calmed down. My chest doesn't feel as tight.
Yeah.
I feel like the shaking has eased up. In fact, I'm almost smiling, which is something I don't do very often. So that's good. That's good.
It seems like you really helped Sue change her perspective. And one of the main things you were trying to teach her was that her pain isn't actually dangerous.
Right.
But clearly she had a lot of fear around her pain.
Right. And we've talked about this a lot before. Fear is the fuel for the pain. It keeps your brain interpreting it as if it's dangerous. And to overcome any fear, the thing that you need is exposure to the thing that you're afraid of.
That's right. If you want to change your neural pathways, if you want to change your relationship with something, you need to have exposure to it. Like if you're afraid of spiders, you need some kind of exposure to a spider.
Right. And if you have a fear of public speaking, you need to get up in front of people and talk.
And if you have a fear of awkwardness, you could hang out with me and Alan in junior high.
That actually might be a little too much exposure.
So true. But that's actually a really good segue, because exposure itself is not enough. When you get exposed to the thing you're afraid of, two things can happen: corrective experiences and setbacks. Now, a corrective experience is when the exposure goes well. And I have an example of this from my own life. You guys know I love talking about my daughter, Azalea. And Azalea has a growth disorder, so her pediatrician noticed that she wasn't growing enough on the growth chart. And so we have to give her shots of growth hormone every night, and which is great, except that she was deathly afraid of shots.
Oh, no.
Like many kids are.
Right.
And so that was a really tough conversation when we sat her down and said, oh, you know, you haven't been growing as much as your body is supposed to, but we can fix it. We just have to give you a shot every single night for the next several years. You know, and she was terrified. And that first shot that we gave her, you know, she was so scared and there were tears, and it probably took 45 minutes,
wow,
you know, just because she was so scared. And, you know, we were really trying to make her feel comfortable and make her feel safe. And
so you were actually doing a good job of providing a safe environment so that she was able to get exposure in a way that would make her feel safer and more at ease.
We were trying.
You were trying.
You know, we were climbing a very big hill because she was super afraid.
Yeah.
But, you know, that first one did go well, and, you know, it wasn't as painful and as scary as she thought it would be. And so that was a corrective experience. And after that first one, her fear was a little bit less.
Right.
And then the next night, you know, was also went smoother, didn't take 45 minutes. Maybe it took 20 minutes, you know, the second second night. And over time, you know, she collected more and more of these corrective experiences and her fear went down. And now it's no big deal. You know, it's a part of the normal nightly routine. She brushes her teeth. We do the shot. She doesn't even call it a shot. She calls it Shot Junior because she's like, it's little and it doesn't hurt. It's not a real shot. It's Shot Junior.
So after enough corrective experiences, she actually learned that the shot wasn't dangerous at all.
Exactly.
And that's how it works with corrective experiences, is once you collect enough corrective experiences, your brain learns that whatever it was afraid of is not actually dangerous.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of pain sufferers have triggers that they're afraid of. So let's say you have back pain and walking is a trigger for you.
That definitely was my trigger when I had back pain. One of many.
That's where I got it from. If you take a walk around the block and it goes well and you have a little less fear afterwards, that's a corrective experience. And once you get enough corrective experiences, your brain learns that walking isn't dangerous and the pain goes away.
So that's how corrective experiences work. But there's a flip side. If you get exposure to the thing that you're afraid of and it goes badly, it can make you even more afraid than you were before. And we call that a setback.
And for the greatest example of a setback ever, Alan is going to read a section from our book.
When we got the opportunity to do the Boulder back pain study, I knew that I couldn't treat all the patients by myself. I needed help, and Christy was the perfect choice. We've worked together for years. She's an expert in pain reprocessing therapy, and her patients love her. There was just one problem. Christy is scared of flying. Christy bravely agreed to face her fear, and I gave her some encouragement. Me. Flying back and forth between LA and Colorado will actually be a good thing. You'll have so many opportunities for corrective experiences. Christy. Great. And for the first few trips, I was right, until one fateful flight back to L.A. Christy boarded with a sense of optimism. The flights had all gone smoothly so far. As she sat in the middle seat, Christy said hello to the woman sitting next to her. They never exchanged names, so I'll just call her Doomsday Donna for reasons that will become clear. Doomsday Donna. You know, they just retired this type of airplane. This is probably the last flight for this plane. I hope we make it back to L.A. Christy, what? It turns out that Doomsday Donna was even more scared of flying than Christy was. And Doomsday Donna wasn't shy about sharing her fears with anyone who would listen. Was the plane really about to be retired? Who knows? Christy had no time for fact-checking. The plane was taking off, and so was Christy's anxiety. Christy spent the rest of the flight attempting relaxation exercises, giving herself messages of safety, and avoiding eye contact with Doomsday Donna. But as they made their final approach into LAX, they heard an unusual grinding sound coming from the bottom of the plane. Doomsday Donna, I think there's a problem with the landing gear. Christy, no, I'm sure it's fine. Doomsday Donna, I think the wheels are stuck inside the plane. We're going to land without landing gear. Christy, In retrospect, it's obvious that Doomsday Donna didn't know what she was talking about. But by this point, Christy was in a full-blown panic, so she wasn't exactly thinking logically. She was too busy imagining an emergency water landing and cursing herself for not having studied the safety card in her seat back pocket. As the plane hurtled toward Earth, Christy's fingernails sank deeper and deeper into her armrests. Just when Christy and the armrests couldn't take it anymore, the plane touched down, on land, on its fully functioning wheels. The flight was over, but the damage was done. Christy was a mess. She couldn't speak a single word for 45 minutes. Needless to say, this was not a corrective experience. Christy definitely exposed herself to her fear, but unfortunately in a way that made her feel less safe. Exposure with a sense of safety leads to a corrective experience. But when exposure triggers feelings of danger, the fear gets stronger. Since that's the opposite of what we want to happen, we call it a setback. That's okay. Setbacks will happen. They're temporary. After her setback, Christy continued working on her fear of flying. She was patient,
collected more corrective experiences, and stopped talking to the people sitting next to her. As you work your way through the process, you'll experience setbacks sometimes. All pain sufferers do. One of my patients had a setback when he went out for burgers with some friends. He was a little worried about his pain beforehand, but he really wanted to hang out with his buddies. Unfortunately, his pain was a steady throb all through lunch, and he had a terrible time. Frustrated, he thought, "I can't even do things I enjoy without my pain ruining it." Another patient had been feeling pretty good for a few days in a row until she had a stressful conversation with her son. Her pain spiked and stayed high for the next 2 days. She was despondent. She thought, "If even the littlest bit of stress can trigger this much pain, how am I ever going to get better?" A third patient had a pain flare-up that seemingly came out of nowhere. It felt totally random. It really scared her because she thought that if she couldn't identify why her pain came on, then she'd never be able to stop it. Their circumstances were all different, but in each case, the patient's fear around their pain increased. That's a setback. However, I'm happy to report that all these setbacks were temporary. All three patients trusted the process and continued working toward recovery. Setbacks are like speed bumps on the road to a pain-free life. They may slow you down, but as long as you stay the course, they can't stop you.
So that was actually a segment from our audiobook. So if you don't want to read the book yourself, but you want Alan to read it to you, just order the audiobook.
So every time you get a corrective experience, your brain learns that the pain is a little bit safer. And every time you have a setback, your brain learns that the pain is a little more dangerous. So obviously the goal is to maximize corrective experiences and minimize setbacks.
Which brings us to our next clip. We actually played you that segment from the audiobook for two reasons. One, it's a great and hilarious example of a setback. And two, because Christy is actually the star of our next clip. 5 years before the Boulder back pain study, Christy was an intern at the Pain Psychology Center.
Our first one, actually.
Oh, wow.
In the first class of interns, at least.
She's old school.
Yeah.
And she was also a chronic pain sufferer herself. She had a few different symptoms, and one of them was very serious pain in her thumbs whenever she typed on her phone, which for Christy is very often.
Right.
This clip is from a group supervision where Alan is helping Christy with her thumb pain.
Yeah, it was really amazing. We did this really great exercise, and afterward I said, "Oh, I wish we would have gotten that on tape." And one of the other interns holds up her iPhone and says, "I secretly recorded it without your knowledge."
Nice. All right, so here's a bootleg recording of Alan and Christy.
That area of the thumb, as you're typing, how are you doing with your eyes closed?
It's good.
Okay. And I want you to see if you could just move the pain up a little. Just a little. Maybe on that knuckle, the middle knuckle.
No, I can't, and it's getting worse because I'm mad at you.
Okay. that pain is getting worse. Right there.
The pain hurts. The pain on my left hand hurts here, and on my right hand hurts here.
So it's different places.
Yes.
All right. So keep typing. And as you're typing, and you're feeling this pain in your thumbs, what is your reaction to the pain? Is it frustration?
It's frustration.
It's frustration. Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
That is the thing we need to work on.
Okay.
So. What, all pain is, keep typing. I want you to see if you can do this while you're typing. All pain is just a sensation. So all you have right now is a sensation in both your thumbs. That's it. It's just a sensation. And it's the frustration and the fear and the impatience around that sensation that is turning it into unpleasantness. But all it is just a sensation. What?
It hurts.
All right, so far, things not going great.
Right.
She's typing, she has pain, She has a lot of frustration about the pain.
A lot of fear.
A lot of fear, right. Absolutely. It seems like it's actually getting worse. So right. this, I would call this a setback. Right?
Absolutely. You can tell that at this point, she actually has more fear around typing than she did beforehand.
Right. Classic setback.
Right.
So where do you go from here?
So from here, I'm actually going to do a somatic tracking exercise with her.
Okay, that makes sense. And, you know, this is actually an opportunity for us to tie in two different concepts from the podcast. You know, we've talked about somatic tracking a lot. It's a very powerful technique. And today we introduced the whole concept of corrective experiences. And somatic tracking is designed to create corrective experiences.
Right.
That's the whole point of somatic tracking, is for pain sufferers to get corrective experiences around their pain and reduce their fear.
Right. Somatic tracking is actually a form of exposure that is geared toward maximizing the chance of getting a corrective experience.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get a corrective experience for Christy in the second half of the clip.
It hurts.
He's not denying.
Yeah.
This right there, your frustration about it is the only thing that's perpetuating these symptoms. Mm-hmm. You're mad at it for not going away.
Right.
You're annoyed that it seems to be getting progressively worse. You feel like a sense of helplessness. How am I ever going to be able to get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are the only thing that's fueling it. The goal is not to prevent the pain from coming on. The goal is to change the way you respond when it does. You did it with your neck. All you need to do is not give a shit. Can you do that right now?
Mm-hmm.
Try it.
I'm trying. I am actively trying.
Good. We know with 100% accuracy. Type that. With 100% accuracy, this what's going on with your thumb right now is just a neural pathway in your brain. And we don't even want to get rid of your thumb pain right now. That is not the goal. The only goal right now as you're typing is just to change your relationship with the pain. It's just a thing that you feel that's okay. It's okay that I'm feeling this right now. There's that voice that wants to throw your phone across the room. That's just a habit. All that is like a learned habit. The only thing that you need to do to succeed right now in this moment is just be with the pain. Not become friends with it. Let's not go crazy. But just be with the pain and practice being, all right, it's there. It's not dangerous. I'm not hurting myself. This is just a function of learned pathway, neural pathways in my brain, and it's okay. And see if you can actually feel a little bit of happiness or contentment, even though you're in pain. See if right now, you're lying there, typing on the phone, you hear my soothing voice, and see if you can actually feel a sense of happiness or joy or contentment, in spite of the fact that you're feeling pain. Do not let this frustration and this impatience win out, because that's keeping you hostile.
It feels 1,000% different.
What do you mean?
It feels so much better.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It didn't, like halfway through it was getting way worse and I was like, this is very annoying.
Uh-huh.
And then the last like 45 seconds, it feels 75% better.
Keep going, right now, in this moment. Now you have even more evidence that what's going on with your hands and your thumb is bullshit. Because if there's actually something wrong with you, the more that you type, the worse it's going to get. But the fact that you were actually typing more and it was getting better, it slipped up. It was a chink in its armor. And you know that now. All you need to do is just know, I'm okay, and let yourself feel a sense of happiness or feel a sense of joy or feel a sense of contentment. Even though you have pain, it is not going to hijack your ability to feel okay. All it is a sensation that means nothing, that is meaningless. And just let yourself lie here and go and breathe and feel okay and see if you just kind of like let in the joy of life around you, even though there's this pain. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it goes down 75% or up 200%. None of that matters. The only thing that matters right now is that you practice being authentically indifferent toward the severity of the symptoms. I'm not trying to get rid of your pain. I don't care if your pain goes away. All we want to do is help you practice feeling okay, even though you have pain right now.
I have no pain right now. I'm so excited.
Really?
It's bothering me for like 2 years. That is all that I needed. It will be gone in a week. I am positive.
It will be gone in a week?
Yeah.
Wow, that was an amazing turnaround.
Yeah, it wasn't looking good there for a while.
Yeah. As we discussed, she started out by having a setback, but then with somatic tracking, she was able to get a corrective experience and her pain went away.
Right. But her pain actually wasn't gone for good after that. It came back the next time she typed. It actually took a few weeks for her to get enough corrective experiences to overcome her pain completely.
Which makes sense. I mean, it's a process.
Right.
And we actually have a whole chapter in the book called The Process,
right.
Which introduces a new formula to help you maximize corrective experiences and minimize setbacks in order to get rid of your pain.
That's right. So we explain somatic tracking in the book, but then we have a whole chapter teaching you how to do somatic tracking, when to do somatic tracking, when not to do somatic tracking, to help you get corrective experiences and reduce setbacks to overcome your pain.
And remember, it's not just about getting exposure to the pain. It's about getting exposure in a way that lowers your fear and makes your brain feel safe.
Right. And be patient. You know, this is a gradual process. Fear is the fuel for the pain. And when you stop adding fuel to the fire, it may not go out right away, but it will.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'd like to thank our partners at Curable. Remember to check them out at curablehealth.com. And as always, thanks to our amazing producer, Lori Poliski. We'll see you guys next time.